Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusty. At least 23 people are dead after a series of severe storms, including more than two dozen tornadoes, tore across the eastern half of the country, bringing power outages to hundreds of thousands of people. Recovery efforts are now underway in places like St. Louis.
This is going to be a very exhausting and extensive search pattern.
City Fire Commissioner Dennis Jenkerson. Negotiations resume this afternoon between New Jersey Transit and the Rail Engineers Union as a strike now stretches into its second day. ABC's Marcus Solis.
So close but yet so far for those commuters who are facing a second straight day without rail service as the strike continues. But the good news is that both sides are indeed talking.
Engineers have been pushing for increased wages. NJ Transit says what they're asking for isn't economically viable. The search is on in Louisiana after a prison break early yesterday morning. Seven people still at large. This is ABC News. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres is calling for an immediate ceasefire after the Palestinian Ministry of Health reports 153 people were killed in the past 24 hours. More than 450 have been injured, they say, as IDF operations intensify across the Gaza Strip. ABC's Mary Bruce says President Trump is now weighing in after returning home from his Middle East trip.
No deal to end hostilities between Israel and Hamas. Israel ratcheting up attacks in Gaza. The president saying, quote, we've got to get that taken care of.
We're going to see. We have to help also out the Palestinians. You know, a lot of people are starving on Gaza, so we have to look at both sides.
The president's first major trip abroad, three countries over 4 days, focusing more on dollars and cents than foreign policy. The trip aimed at boosting America's business ties in wealthy Arab states, a region where his own family has growing financial interests.
Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The biggest thing that happens in Wisconsin state government every 2 years is the state budget. And last week at the state capitol, Republican lawmakers took a step forward in the process by voting out more than 600 measures from Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal. This has become a familiar step in this era of divided government. This is now the fourth budget proposal that Evers has put forward, and each one has been met with a similar fate. Even as this has become the custom, it doesn't have to be this way. Republicans could honestly engage with this budget and debate it on its merits. There are good, smart proposals here on everything from healthcare to education to childcare to environmental protection. And if there are items here they disagree on, make the case. Have the debate. But by voting everything out and starting from scratch, they are letting down the people of Wisconsin they are elected to represent by refusing to have this debate on a very basic level. We should expect better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's investment in preserving agricultural land is offering some solace to farmers, helping them save money during economic uncertainty. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The Farmland Preservation Program provides landowners a $10 per acre credit on their income taxes if they meet agriculture conservation requirements. Katie Abbott with the Iowa County Land Conservation Department says county conservation staff work with landowners to make sure they are meeting those standards and help those who aren't get back into compliance so they can keep their tax credit.
It's just a really great way for landowners to get one-on-one conservation help and get a little financial incentive to help protect the soil and water that we all depend on.
The program promotes practices like nutrient management planning, which helps landowners save money by optimizing fertilizer use and protecting soil resources. Agriculture contributes nearly $105 billion to the state's economy and more than 11% of the state's employment. In Iowa County alone, about a third of agricultural lands have compliance certificates under the program, which has helped landowners significantly save on operating costs. Abbott says the recent tax credit increase from $7.15 to $10 per acre has sustained participation and ensured landowners still see financial benefits.
As we all know, costs keep going up, the cost of doing conservation, of having these nutrient management plans, just the general cost of farming keep increasing. And so we just really needed that increase just to keep up with the rising expense of the farmers in these programs.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Cloudy skies today, highs in the mid-50s, northwest winds around 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low near 40. Near 60 with partly sunny skies for your Sunday. 61, slight chance of rain Monday. Better chance of rain on Tuesday, low 60s.
It's 45 degrees right now.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Benga Ajilore, a former advisor with the USDA, talking about the threats to rural hospitals posed by the Republican budget reconciliation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I am your host, Joel Clayfish. Our sidekick, Danielle Fairman, has the night off, but fortunately for us, we've got the chefist with the mostest, the chefferie, the classically trained French chef, the culinarian, the culinary expert.
Where are you going with this?
I have no idea. Ellie Lawton is filling in the co-host seat tonight, and I'm thrilled about that because we've got some crazy food to talk about today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Happy you said, fortunately, I'm here.
Fortunately, you are here.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. You know, you are here every week.
Yeah.
You do get that part.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a big surprise.
Honestly,
anymore.
It feels like Groundhog Day.
It is.
It's just all one really long day and the same stuff keeps happening.
Oh, my gosh. You know, one of the cool things about tonight's show is I get to have an old friend on the show, a friend who's been my friend for 3 decades.
Old being the key word. Perhaps old is the key word. Hey,
let's not start adding all of our ages together, Dan. It's going to get depressing awfully fast. Dan Trawicki, who is the Government Affairs Director for Safari Club International, SCI, First for Hunters. Dan has been not only an advocate for the outdoors, but somebody who has enjoyed Wisconsin's outdoors, everything from hunting, fishing, turkey hunting, and I know he enjoys some good food because I've seen him eat some of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
In the past. But Dan's here because we have an extremely, extremely topical night for tonight that I'm very excited about. And before we get into that, I want to talk about the weekly Wiscos. Our weekly Wiscos are what we did in the outdoors this past week. And we've got a couple firsts tonight. Now, Jacob, the guy who runs the joint from the fishbowl, is helping us out. Jacob, did you have a good week?
I did have a great week, Joel. Do you want to hear about my Wisco?
I want to hear about it. We're going to get to that. Everybody just
I'm just
slow
so excited.
This is very exciting.
I can't handle it.
I'm very eager to Wisco it up.
Jacob's Wisco of the past was, I was outside of the radio station, and I think I saw a squirrel. So it's not a real high bar, but
it's his studio hikes.
It is his studio hikes. Jacob, what do you got? I feel like you got something exciting.
I do have something exciting, Joel, because this week I actually did see a little piece of nature for sure. Not just maybe a squirrel.
Okay.
I saw something.
All right.
My family, we have had for the last week a mama duck laying its eggs in our bush out front. And we were very excited about
that. That's precious.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
A dozen of the biggest, you know, fresh from the grocery store eggs out of this duck right in front of our house. Everybody's excited. And then you're
drooling a little bit here.
Let's not alert the DNR to what you just said there, Jacob.
A crazy
duck.
Duck
eggs are delicious. Crazy.
Duck eggs are delicious.
That, I mean, I don't know how we're going to beat that weekly Wisco.
I didn't eat them.
Oh, okay.
He didn't eat them. He watched them hatch.
Yeah, duck eggs are delicious.
I saw the eggs. I didn't eat them.
I'm not implying he ate
them. He saw the eggs. He didn't eat them. We haven't even gotten to the culinary part of the show, and you're talking about eating the duck eggs.
What do you think? Food is my favorite dish, for God's sake.
Good Lord.
First time ever on the history of the show, we have our field producer and executive field producer, Noah Morris of Morris Original, on a mic tonight. We had an extra mic, and Noah's on the mic. Noah, what's
going on? I'm pumped about this.
Hi. America, this is the first
say
time
hi.
You will hear Noah's voice. Noah, go.
Hi.
Noah, what's your weekly Wisco?
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah. Me and my wife just bought a house, and we were out in the backyard cleaning it up. She's got a raised flower bed or gardening bed thing going on.
Yeah.
So well,
that sounds wonderful.
It, she does.
Wow. Congratulations
That's
on your new
fantastic.
Home. Yeah. Wow.
Thanks.
Dan Trawicki, do you have something you did in the outdoors this week?
I do. It's different than the raised in Wisco. I was actually in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Okay,
what?
That counts.
I know where you're going. I can't wait to hear it.
Hunting,
tell me about it.
Hunting Gould's turkey.
How
And
cool
it was
is
so
that?
Much fun, and there were so many turkeys. I love to turkey hunt like you do. And, I went with two really dear friends. And, well, we flew from Hermosillo, Guadalajara to Hermosillo, and then air chartered in. And got met by a group of Mexican military with ARs and full
what?
Masks.
Was
not intimidating
expected?
At all.
Was no. that expected?
It was a little unexpected, but they were actually quite nice. I waved to them and they waved back. They went through our small plane, went through all our luggage, and of course we didn't have anything unusual. But so then we got into camp, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful turkey hunt. We shot... You know, we each shot two gobblers, and there was a lot of birds, and very Goulds are very vocal, and beautiful,
cool.
beautiful turkeys.
Honest to God, if you're listening to the show, look it up, Goulds. It's a subset of a Merriam, correct?
Yeah, I think so. It looks exactly like a it looks exactly the same as our Easterns here, but their fan and tail is just much lighter, dramatically lighter in
like
color.
Like a white edge almost.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's closer to a Miriam's than anything, you know. They were smaller birds. We weighed them like 16, 17 pounds. Big spurs, long beards, but sort of skimpy beards, you know, but super fun.
Just beautiful. Well, okay, this is going to...
that's
a
really
questions.
Good one.
Yeah. So real quick, before we leave this topic, Dan Trawicki is former law enforcement and... You know what they say, once law enforcement, always law enforcement, is former sheriff of Waukesha County. Right. So if you're listening to us on one of the 21 stations in the Civic Media Network, you know that Raised in Wisco can be heard on a station near you Saturdays at 11. So no matter where you are, you can hear it. Dan Trawicki was the sheriff for quite a while of Waukesha County. So here's my question. You land in Mexico. You're met by La Policia.
It was intimidating
who
at
is
first,
somewhat,
for sure.
Somewhat a kind of a, it's kind of a guerrilla state there a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no
they've
doubt.
Got guns and they're dressed in kind of guerrilla fatigues. I'm guessing I've seen
oh,
pictures
yeah. with black masks,
masks on.
You know, just basically their eyes stuck
and,
out.
And they were not shielding themselves from COVID.
No, not at all.
Not that kind of mask.
No.
They were not wearing N95s. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, in that scenario, do you let them know you are law enforcement from the United States? Or
no,
doesn't that come
not
up?
At all. You know, I mean, I just try to go with the flow and like, sort of like I wave to them and like they wave back.
Okay.
And we actually at one point asked if we could have pictures taken with them. And they sort of conversed back and forth. And they were like, yeah, you can have pictures, you know. And so that was interesting. And so fast forward to we're in camp. And as you know, like, I'm a runner. And I like, and I had my running
yes,
stuff
with
me.
You only run 1,000 miles a week. So you're definitely a hobbyist.
So I said to the outfitter, like, is it like, is it safe to run here? And he was like, what do you mean? And I said, like, from the cartel, you know, like, will I run into bad people that will like kidnap me and take me for ransom? He's like, no, there's no cartel around here. You're safe. And so I ran.
Did you feel safe?
I did, you know, because I only saw 4 or 5 vehicles on my run, and I would like wave to them,
sure,
and they all honked and waved back, and it was good. And I thought, if I see anybody suspicious, I'm exiting and running through the field.
Well,
you know?
I'm going to tell you, Dan Trawicki is not only a marathon runner, but has completed several Ironman triathlons.
Right on, yeah.
So I'm going to say, just that's right off the bat, now you can't outrun a bullet. However, in a foot chase, I would put my money on Dan.
I think I would too.
Yeah. I've often thought to myself, like, if it's a sketchy situation, I'm exiting stage right and just keep running, and I think I'll be okay.
You're just going to Forrest Gump it.
Right.
We were just talking about Forrest Gump.
Right. Run, Forrest, run. Yeah, for sure.
Unless there's a 45-ounce porterhouse at the end, you're probably going to beat me in a race every time.
I hear you. No. It was a really cool trip. I mean, the outfitter was really nice, like lots of birds, good food, good accommodations. And it was a trip we bought at a safari club banquet.
Cool.
That's you know, neat. So that was super.
I've
cool.
done that before and had some pretty neat hunts.
Yeah. It's you have to know what you're bidding on. But it was so I went with John Miller and John's brother Jeff. So it was like it was super fun.
Oh, yeah. Great! And you guys were all successful. That was cool. You called in birds. My weekly Wisco is a warning. It's a weekly Wisco warning. I got permission on a pretty cool turkey property, about 500 acres, and I thought, I'll just walk it.
New property?
A new property. Okay. Well, a property I used to have got sold. Now the new owner gave me permission. I haven't been on the property in about 5 years.
Hey, if you run these new properties, maybe you could train for Ironman with Dan.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Okay.
I don't need the tattoo as bad.
Right.
I'm good.
If you do it, you do have to get the tattoo. That's like a requirement, tattoo. Right?
I think.
Oh, maybe I'll do an Ironman.
Yeah.
You should.
It's actually
tattoos.
Quite. It's not
you
as
like
it's not as
you
hard as it looks.
Do they have a lazy girl instead of an Ironman?
Yeah. No.
Do they
no.
have an aluminum?
No.
It's Ironman only. No. There's no.
Right.
Do they have an aluminum foil version?
Right.
An aluminum.
Yeah.
Or a plastic film version.
You know, you can make it whatever you want it to be, you know, but.
Oh, sorry to take your weekly Wisco off track.
My week.
Yeah. Carry on, Joe. Carry on,
my
Joe.
My weekly Wisco warning. I went and searched this property, got home, and found 3 ticks on me.
Oh, yeah.
And after that, found 4 more ticks.
Wood ticks or deer ticks?
Well, they were wood ticks, I believe, but, you know, even wood ticks can vary in size.
Yeah.
The deer ticks are typically the size of a sesame seed. That's why Gage
is tiny.
Yeah, even smaller maybe.
Yeah so
like
these,
a size of a pepper or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're real tiny. And then I showered last night, of course. And
that's important.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
good.
You for that.
I'm glad you all appreciate that I showered. Yeah. Then this morning, went in, showered again, put my pants on, and a tick was crawling on my neck, and then was driving to the Capitol today, and another tick was on my head.
Yep.
So watch out for ticks. Make sure you spray. Enjoy the outdoors, but definitely watch for ticks and do a tick chat when it's over.
I guess we'll save mine for next segment.
Yeah, we're going to save yours, but I can't wait. We're going to talk about sandhill cranes, what's going on in the legislature, what your chance is to potentially harvest one, and tons of other stuff, plus food. This is Raised in Wisco.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin, and it is your culinary spot to learn how to take what you get in the outdoors and put it on your dinner table and make people happy about it. Boy, food makes me so happy. I want to jump out of my seat.
Me too. I'm actually not hungry right now for the first time in my life.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that before.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
You know, they say you can tell a good chef by if they're chubby, right? I mean, you've
where,
heard
where are you going with this?
Well, I'm going with this is I see you eat from time to time. I don't know where you put it. That's where I'm going.
Oh, I burn a lot of calories.
Holy cow. You eat. You can eat. My Italian mom would have said, you're a good eater.
Yeah, I can pack the food away.
Folks, we love having you along. Raised in Wisco is where we like to share with you how to use the outdoors. We learn something every week. We hope you learn something, too. And you can hear us throughout the state of Wisconsin on your Civic Media stations every Saturday at 11. Ellie Lawton is here. The chef of Raised in Wisco.
Bonjour.
She's filling in. She's here every week as the chef, but this week she's the co-host as well. Danielle has the night off. Ellie, where else can they listen to the show if they miss it on Saturdays?
Folks can catch it on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. And then you can also find us on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube.
Yeah.
So and you can check out our awesome faces on Facebook.
Yeah, if you watch us live on Facebook or you can watch us recapped on Facebook, you can see how ridiculous we look while we're laughing away the hours here.
Joel and I have matching shirts on tonight.
We kind of do.
And
that's
Dan
right.
And I have the same color shirt on.
That is because Ellie was a part of the Gator Gals trip.
Gator Gals camp.
Gator Gals camp, right, for Triple J Outfitters.
For 2024.
We took a bunch of women down and the least experienced hunter in the group, Jessica Thielen, who had never hunted a big game animal in her life, ended up shooting an alligator that was about a foot and a half away from the state record alligator in Florida. Folks, Dan Trawicki is here from SCI, First for Hunters, and we heard from him his story about having a great time in Mexico harvesting a Gould's turkey. It's turkey season here right now. And one of the exciting things is all three of us, Ellie Lawton, Dan Trawicki, and I, were in the state capitol today.
True.
We've had George Ermert on the show. He's a friend of the show from the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. Today, our efforts were to talk about the proposal for a sandhill crane hunting season. I know that this is a controversial issue. I sometimes don't understand exactly why it is, but as the sandhill crane populates, sandhill crane story is a real winning story for Wisconsin. The reintroduction of the crane, the fostering of the habitat here in Wisconsin, and the growth of that species, it's a real conservation success story. Mm-hmm.
For sure. No doubt about it.
Now, they're so plentiful, they're really doing some damage to farms throughout Wisconsin.
Yes.
If you don't know, sandhill cranes are known by farmers as sowing machines. They go by and they pick out the seed before the plant can ever grow. A study committee put together a proposal that would not only help farmers who lose crops with crop damage depredation funds, but also a fair and reasonable hunt. And Dan Trawicki and Ellie Lawton from the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association was there, and Dan Trawicki with SCI. We had folks from National SCI and Delta Waterfowl. I think we had a pretty fantastic day talking to lawmakers today.
Yeah, it was a great day. I mean, you know, there's a lot of support among the Senate. And as you may or may not know, well, you know, of course, that it's a key situation. There's two or three key senators that will swing this thing one way or another. There's an overwhelming support for a hunting season in the Senate. Overwhelming. But we need 17 of the 18. And so it's going to be critical. There are two or three really key senators, and we met with one of them. I did this afternoon, Rob Hutton, who's just a super guy. I've known him from my days with the Sheriff's Department. Rob was our county board supervisor, Village of Sussex supervisor. So I met with Rob a little bit this afternoon. Lucky to meet him, see him in his office and his staffers. But I think it's going to be an uphill battle, but it's a battle that could be won. You know, and I think, Joel, nobody knows it more than you, that you were the one who first introduced this bill 14 or 15 sure. years ago. And so some people don't know it, but a lot of times, while you may not have initial success, you might have success later because it's now on the agenda. They know about it. Exactly.
No doubt about it.
So, yeah, we had very, very positive feedback today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the pros and cons. I want to talk about some of where some in on this show, we laugh a lot, but we also talk about some fairly serious issues.
Yeah.
And we talk about the nuances of some of these issues, because we understand that not only sportsmen and women share the waters and woods, but people who don't hunt and don't fish share those waters and woods and the resources of Wisconsin as well. I just want to put this out there for those folks who may be leery of a hunt. I want to let you know what is happening right now with sandhill cranes. Right now, approximately 1,200 cranes are killed. 1,400 cranes are killed on ag tags. An ag tag is where a farmer has a right to reduce the population of an animal who is harming his crops or causing crop damage. According to now, folks, listen to this. According to federal law, every single one of those 1,400 cranes that are killed by a farmer to reduce depredation of crops must be left to rot in their fields by law.
Yeah, they cannot be touched. Correct?
And since this program began, 10,000 birds. 10,000 birds.
In Wisconsin.
Exactly. Have been harvested, shot, and left to rot in the fields.
That, to me, is a travesty.
It is.
That turns my stomach.
That hurts me. I mean, think about all the resources, the food. I mean, there's so many things you can do with a bird, right?
We have got, you know, frankly, as the lead, I was the lead author of the turkey donation bill. I just realized it today because it came up as a memory. I had forgotten. I authored a bill that allowed people to donate their wild turkey meat to be given to food pantries and the needy. And I think to myself, 1,400 birds a year killed and left to rot instead of somebody eating right. them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some solutions. We're going to talk about reaching across aisles. We're going to talk about what we need to conserve that species while using it responsibly in a balance for everybody. We laugh a lot, but we talk about serious stuff. And I think this is something worth talking about on Raised in Wisco.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusty. At least 23 people are dead after a series of severe storms, including more than two dozen tornadoes, tore across the eastern half of the country, bringing power outages to hundreds of thousands of people. Recovery efforts are now underway in places like St. Louis.
This is going to be a very exhausting and extensive search pattern.
City Fire Commissioner Dennis Jenkerson. Negotiations resume this afternoon between New Jersey Transit and the Rail Engineers Union as a strike now stretches into its second day. ABC's Marcus Solis.
So close but yet so far for those commuters who are facing a second straight day without rail service as the strike continues. But the good news is that both sides are indeed talking.
Engineers have been pushing for increased wages. NJ Transit says what they're asking for isn't economically viable. The search is on in Louisiana after a prison break early yesterday morning. Seven people still at large. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Brewers and the Twins tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers host the hottest team in baseball right now, the Minnesota Twins, who've won 12 in a row. Last night, the Twins beat the Crew 3-0. But manager Pat Murphy was impressed with how 26-year-old right-hander Chad Patrick held up through six innings.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff to pitch up here and pitch in big situations. I mean, yeah, he didn't have his best stuff early. He'll be the first to tell you I was behind in the count. I didn't throw the ball great. They battled for the last four innings and got through it.
I asked Patrick if he was able to move on despite giving up a pair of runs early on.
Yeah, after the second inning, I was just trying to get as deep as I possibly could. Just, you know, got to control what I can control out there and execute what I'm trying to do.
And the Brewers made a trade with the Yankees, bringing back lefty Rob Zastrzynski, who was with the team last summer. They've optioned reliever Elvis Piguero. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Cloudy skies today, highs in the mid-50s, northwest winds around 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low near 40. Near 60 with partly sunny skies for your Sunday. 61, slight chance of rain Monday. Better chance of rain on Tuesday, low 60s.
It's 45 degrees right now.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. After the election of liberal-leaning Justice Janet Prosewitz in 2023, Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate maps were challenged in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and subsequently thrown out as unconstitutional. But justices passed on a challenge to the congressional districts. With April's election of liberal Justice Susan Crawford, pro-voter groups are trying again for a fairer congressional voting map. In early 2024, the legislature ignored six fairer maps and adopted Democratic Governor Tony Evers' least change compromise map, later allowed to stand by the U.S. Supreme Court. GOP candidates were elected to six of eight congressional districts with only 50% of the statewide vote in 2024. Two challenges were filed May 7th and 8th, one by the Elias Group contending that the least change directive had no basis in the Wisconsin Constitution, and the second by the Campaign Legal Center argues that Evers' map ignored traditional redistricting norms, splits too many counties, and didn't equally apportion the districts. A record $100 million was spent by both sides in the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The current margin in the U.S. House is 220 Republicans to 213 Democrats. We've linked to the filings and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will join us to talk about resources for Wisconsin farmers. Please don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Whoa, if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what does.
Welcome back to the circus, everyone. Hey,
welcome back to Raised in Wisco, your three-ring circus. I'm your ringmaster, Joel Clayfish, alongside Chef Ellie Lawton.
And box jumper, if you will.
That's right. That's what they call a magician's assistant.
Yeah.
Like ages ago.
Yeah.
Hey, I love old terms and stuff like that.
Me too.
That's cool. Dan Trawicki is here from SCI, First for Hunters. The three of us spent the day, if you're just joining us, at the state capitol talking about the sandhill crane issue. Wisconsin's population of sandhill cranes has grown so inordinately that they're causing more than $4 million in damage to farms across the state of Wisconsin. The federal government has said, guys, it's time for a hunting season in order to help keep the population in check. We're going to talk about the issues related to that. Something that I think most people don't know is that 1,400 on average cranes are killed by farmers legally on ag tags, on federal ag tags every year. But according to federal law, they must have that crane that they kill. They must not be able to touch it and leave it to rot in their fields. I think this is a travesty. I think it's sad to me. We have a turkey, wild turkey donation, venison donation in the state of Wisconsin. This is meat that can be used for the needy, for food pantries. It can be harvested and eaten by
it's
farmers.
It's a phenomenal meat.
It's a phenomenal protein source, high in protein, very lean, excellent to eat, organic. And these farmers are killing 1,400 of them a year and have to, by law, leave them to rot. Right. Now, I can't imagine anybody, including crane enthusiasts, saying that's a good idea. And Dan, I mean, that was part of the message today as we talked to lawmakers, explaining that a hunting season, at very least, allows for the utilization of that meat.
100%. And that 1,400 is the ones we know about.
Right.
And we know that there's a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, this is the part that I actually don't get. So, you know, we as hunters, me as a hunter, it's like, yeah, let's have a hunting season. It makes sense. And so I'm on the wolf study committee for the state of Wisconsin. I'm on the bear study committee of the state of Wisconsin. And I understand the emotional impact and the emotional argument. Reminds us of mourning doves, reminds us of the wolf season. And so,
and cranes are beautiful.
They are.
They're beautiful. And I love the fact they're on our landscape. It's amazing.
And so I'll give you an analogy, Joel. Like in all the wolf study committees, SCI, First for Hunters, position is we believe that wolves belong here. We want them here. The question is how many? That is the question. And we believe sandhill cranes belong here and doves belong here. The question is how many. And so while my argument and your argument will be as pro-hunters, and a non-hunter's argument is typically to be an emotional argument, what I always, and this is what we all went to today, is to say, what does the science say? What do the professionals in this field tell us? What does U.S. Fish and Wildlife say? And across the board, they all say we have plenty of sandhill cranes. They're above their carrying capacity. We need to have a harvest of them to ensure the future survival of cranes. And so, you know, as a pro hunter, I get it. As an anti-hunter, I get their message. Mm-hmm. What does the science tell us?
I want to talk about that, what you just brought up, for a minute, because I think that is an important part of this conversation. When a natural population grows and exceeds its healthy limits, you start dealing with the spread of avian influenza, for example, disease among that herd, lack of enough food. You start dealing with malnourishment issues in a herd as well, or a flock, whatever a group of sandhill cranes is called. And I think that, look, if you belong to the International Crane Foundation, and I know people who do, and they're fantastic people, yeah, right? They love bird watching and they love crane watching in Wisconsin. And that is part of our heritage and part of what we want to celebrate. That's what this show's about too, the outdoors of Wisconsin. I don't think anybody from any realm wants to see disease run rampant in a wild population. I don't think anyone wants to see starvation happen in a wild population.
Ecosystems
suffer. But on the other side of it, and I want to be clear, Democrats and Republicans have both been very warm to this concept. And we all agree that we want to help to maintain a healthy population. We all agree that sandhill cranes being killed in a farm field and left to rot is downright sinful.
Yes.
I think it's a waste and it's a crime. And I want to get Ellie Lawton's perspective. Ellie is a member of the Wisconsin Hunting and Sporting Association, and women are the fastest growing group of new hunters, not only in this state, but in the country. And you as a chef, who cook a lot of wild game from the field to the table. That's why you're on this show.
Yes.
How did you think today went as far as reception from lawmakers and reception from staff and those we talked about today? And how does that play into women's growing role in the outdoors?
So I'm going to go back to the beginning of it for the WHSA. We all voted on whether or not we were going to participate in what you guys did today, and everybody voted yes. So that's where it started. All of us ladies, and everyone in the group, not everybody is a hunter. So I did want to make that clear too. But even the non-hunters said, you know what, this makes sense, because back to what Dan was saying, the science makes sense. The impact on the farmers makes sense. So let's get involved. So at the Capitol today, going into the day, I thought it was going to be a lot of mixed, like, yes and no's. It was pretty much yes across the board. Everybody was very welcoming to the idea of the hunt.
I think we've got some ground to make up. We really do, in the area of where the funding is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And these are tough questions that lawmakers face with everything they do. In today's world and the cost of doing business, there is a cost to everything. And I want to be clear, sportsmen and women and those who use Wisconsin's outdoors, parks, ponds, lakes, streams, rivers, rocks that they climb, bluffs that they look out, all of us pay, and a portion of what we pay to use those resources goes to support that resource. It's going to be a difficult wrangling or haranguing to get to where we need to be, but I am confident, very confident, especially after today, that we're going to get to where we need to get.
So another point that I think is worth mentioning is, so our governor put in his budget, no matter where the budget goes, but in his initial budget, he put money in there. And I'm probably going to massacre the word, Joel. What is it?
Avapel.
Thank you.
So let's explain what Avapel is.
So Avapel is a specific corn seed which is treated that theoretically sandhill cranes have an aversion to it. Yes. And so because what sandhill cranes will do is as corn is planted, they will literally go down the row of the freshly planted corn and pick out the corn seeds and eat them.
I have literally watched this happen. My family owns a farm, and my dad, he has had entire cornfields just completely ruined because they will go down the entire row, pick everything out. There's nothing left then.
Animals eat some corn off of a cob a stalk that has grown.
Right.
Well, the stalk can never grow if the initial seed is.
Yeah, it's completely plucked
out. There's mixed theories as to how effective this is, but nevertheless, I think it was really, to me, what it said is the governor recognizes there's a problem. And that is the first step. And so anybody that knows me knows that I would be called an ultra conservative. And so obviously we have a Democratic governor, but I also need to be objective. And I give this governor kudos for recognizing that there's a problem and doing something towards it. I think, give credit where credit is due. And it's a good thing that he did. It's recognizing there's a problem. Now, the question is, what do we do about that problem?
Right.
That's where we go
right,
from there.
Right. And, their Avapel, as you talk about it, it's a chemical that is put on a corn seed.
Yep.
Now, everyone, we can listen to the folks who support it by saying it's a chemical that does not harm and the plant or a human who eats it or the bird who puts it right. in its mouth before it spits it out because it tastes bad to the bird. It adds a flavor that tastes bad to the bird. It's kind of like that stuff you could spray on your fingernails if you wanted to quit chewing your fingernails, the stuff that right. tastes bad,
okay.
It was out in the 80s. So I'm curious to see where it's going to go, because what I can tell you is we've had very good conversations with Democrats.
Right.
We've had very good conversations with Republicans about the fact that farming is a priority in Wisconsin and something has to be done. Now, will it culminate in a combination piece of legislation that will be signed into law? I don't have the answer to that. What I want to tell you, though, is if you are a listener to the show, do not be afraid. This is why you elect the people who represent you. Call them.
Oh, 100%.
Let them 100%. Know how you feel about this. They are often, as a former legislator, I can tell you, you are very often affected by 5 phone calls. If 5 people call and tell you they're upset about something or they're happy about something, very often that will affect your opinion and possibly your vote. What I fear is that this becomes a partisan issue.
It will.
And caucuses tell them vote as a team for, vote as a team against. And we have to make sure that this is something that is considered literally. You talked about the emotional arguments before. Well, as far as an emotional argument goes, this should be voted on from the heart for what is best for Sandhill crane populations and the farmers of the state.
Mm-hmm. It should be voted on based on the scientific data that the professionals tell us we should do. The other thing I'll say, Joel, and you're 100% right. So Avapel is good for corn, but that is only half of the problem. The potato farmers and all the other farmers are affected
the
as well.
Farmers.
And so that is only a corn product. And so it theoretically helps them, but there's many other of our farmers in the state and across the country that are affected that Avapel does absolutely nothing for because it's not part of their seed process yet.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
And I learned today, I thought it was interesting. I didn't know the numbers on this. So there are 20 states in the U.S. that have a sandhill population to hunt, and 17 of them already have hunts.
Yes.
Wisconsin is obviously not one of them. So they're already managing these populations and all these other states to avoid these issues or at least have a better control on them.
At very least help the issue.
Correct.
Right. I mean, you can't solve everything. You're not going to solve everything with this bill.
And I want to follow up, Joel, on something you said that is critically important when you said how important these phone calls are. So one of the legislators I met today, that was one of the questions, have you received many calls? He said about 20. And I said, what was the margin? He said, every single one of the calls was against this, everyone. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to hunters and outdoorsmen not voting in some of our regular elections.
Yes, very low voter turnout among
which was a shocking thing to me when I first got involved because when I found this out, I would say, all the sportsmen's friends I know vote, and they simply don't. And so SCI, First for Hunters, that's one of our main platforms, has been not necessarily who to get out to vote for, but to vote.
That's a fact. Make sure you have your voice heard. I am really excited because we're going to talk about food. Chef Kelly Lawton is here. We got a dinger to talk about today. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for matinee on air.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Chef Ellie Lawton, at the end of the day, what is Raised in Wisco? It is not just an outdoor show. It is a
cooking show.
It's a cooking show because one thing that bonds every one of us, the way from the left to all the way to the right and everyone in between.
And all the crazy corners of the world.
We all got to eat. And that is why we have an entire segment of this show dedicated to eating. And Chef Ellie Lawton, we get to glean her years of experience and education and just take it and use it at will.
Just what run with it.
Are we talking about today, Chef Lawton?
Okay, this is a lot. So
you're a lot.
You skipped over my weekly Wisco.
Got awfully excited and heard about Dan's turkey hunt. So
it worked out great because we're going to talk about my weekly Wisco and then we're going to talk about the things I made from my weekly Wisco.
Okay.
So my weekly Wisco is I hosted the WHSA, the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association foraging event out at my house at the EL Buck and Horse Ranch.
Awesome.
And our plan was to forage on the ranch and in my woods. And then we were going to cross the road and go into the Southern Kettle. Well, one of our members, Katie, we are so blessed to have her. Shout out to Katie. She is certified in all sorts of levels of foraging, knows everything there is. I mean, she can look at all the plants and the trees and be like, yep, that one is, this is that, and you can make teas and tinctures, and it's good during the fall. She knows all this stuff.
Fascinating to me.
Oh, my God. We were just soaking up all of her knowledge. So
not just morel mushrooms, which is what the rest of us.
Correct. Right. Everybody's out foraging morels, and we had bags of stuff, so we never left the ranch. We ended up foraging probably about 15 or 16 different items.
What? It blew. Like what?
I'm like, how have I been walking around this place every day and not seeing? Like, I didn't even know. So it was crazy.
So Joel, do you know who would be absolutely perfect for this group? Is my daughter, Abby.
Have her join.
I mean, oh my goodness.
Have her join.
She's a mushroom hunter, not just morels, but she's got this whole idea that's just super. She would love something
like
this. Well,
you got to tell her about this group because unlike places that don't have mushroom, they'd be happy to admit her.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
There's the dad joke.
Jacob, sorry about that. Jacob, it was just okay, right?
The show was almost over, Joel.
I know. Well, I can't help it. I'm such a fun guy.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Abby would really benefit from this, and I think she would love it.
Well, we should have her join.
Yes.
So I will let everyone know if they'd like to join, you can visit the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association's Facebook page. We have an event and a meeting the first Tuesday of every month. There's different locations, different host areas or venues. So you can look on the page and see the next one will also be hosted at the EL Buck and Horse Ranch. And we are doing wild game cooking. So that is super exciting.
Oh,
Joel is actually
a member, Dan.
So you can.
Why would I?
That does not surprise me.
Dan,
anyway.
I think you should join.
But don't you have to be a woman?
No, anybody can join. Really? It's going to be great.
No, go figure.
You don't need to be a woman to join the YMCA, do you?
No, I guess not.
Oh, goodness. Man. Okay. I meant a man.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about food here.
Yeah. Yes.
So our foraging event was amazing. I will tell you, I have a public service announcement for everybody that lives in my area. Please stop picking the asparagus out of my ditch because I'm trying to use it. So it was about 2 hours before a foraging event. And I'm like, ooh, the ditch asparagus looks great. We're going to forage it. It's going to be awesome.
Gone.
I look out the window and there's a guy in my ditch. And I have a huge, very long ditch. And he just goes through and picks all of it. We did not find any asparagus. So then this morning.
He must be good at it, too, because asparagus is tough to see.
Yeah.
He knew it was there.
He's not such a fun guy. I will tell you that. So this morning I wake up and I'm like thinking the weather's been great. I'm going to pick some asparagus today. I look out and there's somebody in a yellow rain jacket walking down my ditch, picking all the asparagus. So people, please leave my ditch alone for at least a week. Let me get one spear of asparagus. So that's my public service announcement for this week.
I don't know if that's a public service. That sounds more like a public warning.
Yeah. Well, you know me well, Joel. So that, you know what? It's my public warning.
What were some of the things that they foraged that I don't obviously know about? And what did you do with
Okay, so I'm going to talk about two quick recipes of things that we foraged that I had never worked with before. I didn't even know existed. So the first one is called wintergrass. So when you're driving around in the field and you see the kind of the green weeds with the little yellow flowers on the top.
Okay.
If you go up to them and pick them, you pull them out, it actually almost looks like a little mini broccoli, like a little mini stalk of broccoli. So Katie told me they're edible. They have a peppery kind of taste to them. You can eat them raw or you can cook them. So I chose to saute them. I kept it super simple. Olive oil, salt, and pepper. It didn't really need the pepper afterwards, so I learned that. And I ate it like that. And then I also sauteed some pheasant back mushrooms sliced up with
Ooh.
That. I did forage those earlier that day, and I have had pheasant backs before. They're fantastic. Check out your local bookstores or online. There's apps for mushrooms. There's
and
a lot out
sure
there.
Make sure you're checking somewhere that what you're eating is edible and make sure you're testing it against potential allergies. I just want to throw that out there.
Yes. The second item, I've seen it, but I've never picked it. It's garlic mustard. Garlic.
Yep, garlic mustard.
Yeah.
An invasive species.
Yes, it is. And it's delicious.
Is that the yellow flower that you see out there?
It's like a big kind of green leaf. It grows in bunches and it's super invasive. So we pulled the whole plant out and I turned it into a pesto. And it was so good because it has I chewed on the leaves right when we picked them. Katie's like, eat this now. I'm like, okay. And it had a really nice garlicky flavor to
basil-y,
it.
Basil-y, garlicky kind
Not
of deal?
Not basil-y, just kind of garlicky and herby, I guess. And so I threw it in the food processor and I made a traditional pesto recipe with it. Olive oil, garlic. And it was so good. And then I luckily had a friend who had some asparagus. So I did get to end the day with some asparagus wrapped in prosciutto with some olive oil.
Boy. Yeah, now that sounds right
so
up my
that
alley.
Was
did I mention I haven't had dinner yet? I really haven't eaten all day.
Well,
tonight.
If you want to stop over at my house on the way home, I've got a whole bunch of stuff. We also foraged some edible flowers at my house too, which was fantastic.
That sounds unbelievable.
It's a great time in Wisconsin.
I'm going to tell you something. Any season in Wisconsin, you can get out there and bring something to your dinner table. That's what's so great about this show. I've never gone through one of these shows without learning myself. Folks, get involved. Talk about the Sandhill Crane issue. Get out there and forage. Enjoy the springtime. Watch out for ticks.
Call your legislators.
For Dan Trewicki from SCI, Ellie Lawton, I'm Joel Clayfish.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the new Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and artist-actor Steve Segrin joins the program. Now that's how you Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people he sees without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump posted that he'll speak with Russia's President Vladimir Putin Monday after direct talks between Ukraine and Russia and Turkey fell flat for a peace deal and ended with a prisoner swap. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Istanbul.
President Trump said nothing will happen until he and Putin get together, telling reporters they may meet soon.
I think we'll solve it, or maybe not, but at least we'll know. And if we don't solve it, Very interesting.
The fact that this meeting happened at all is significant, but far more is outstanding than has just been achieved. And meanwhile, Russia's war in Ukraine grinds on.
Last night, severe storms blamed for at least 23 deaths across Kentucky, Missouri, and Virginia. Crews continue to search for victims, and more volatile storms are in the forecast in the coming days. In New Orleans, the manhunt continues for 7 of 10 prisoners who escaped from a downtown jail Friday. Authorities say they likely had help breaking out of the facility. This is ABC News. In Rome,